Welcome to episode 131 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong and I'm joined by my co-host, Zacha Newman, who's been away on assignment in Bathurst over the last week. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yes. Been up there, cut a few laps around there and doing a bit of rev heavy stuff. No, I was I had an awesome time up there. It's funny, you go back to work and they say, oh, where were you on the weekend? I said, Bathurst. Oh, you're watching the races, like a car race. Didn't know you did motor racing, but... yeah, explained to a few people what was actually going down. And, yeah, it was an epic weekend, mate. Had a ball. Very exciting watching the best go around do their thing.
I'll tell you what, though. We've got probably the best man around in the country to be able to give us a bit of perspective of it. Do you want to tell us a bit about our special guest?
Yes, we are changing the format. We don't change the format at all generally. But
not just for anyone.
And you got a big dog in the house, you got some royalty. I think it is definitely worth changing the format so we can bring this guy on who is probably in recovery mode. He's done a lot of traveling and obviously raced the hardest race against the world's best. But yeah, joining us, he's been on the podcast a few times. He is a Run to BB coach, he is a VIP. As I said, he's fresh off the toughest event in the running world. It's lived up to its name. Represented Australia, was his second national singlet. He finished 33rd. For those who don't know our man, he's also a 212 marathoner. Welcome back to the show, Andy Buchanan.
Hey, Zacha. Hey, Chris. Geez, that intro, Zacha, was pretty similar to what Brady got at the Frenzy the other night.
Yeah, probably not as long, I don't think.
Nah, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting running. Always enjoy coming on these podcasts and talking running. It's been a while since I've been on this one, so thanks for having me back on.
I think last time, mate, we got you live from St. Moritz, and mate, back at home now after a lengthy stay at Falls Creek. How's it like to be back in Bendigo?
Yeah, it's actually really good to be back in Bendigo. Those people that know me will know that I love Bendigo, love everything about it. So, and I haven't been here for, I think it's about 11 weeks. So, yeah, really good to be back home, adjusting back to the normal life of what we all know of work. It is good to be home. It's good to be out of Falls Creek. I do really enjoy Falls Creek, but I think I've spent... yeah, about 8 or 9 weeks there of late, and there's not a lot going on at the moment. So it's it is good to be back.
Rumour is one of your teammates might have moved up there.
He has, yes. Matt the Mad Snake Buckle has moved up there, so he's taking his running very serious. Strange things happen to people on the mountains. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes back like, because I think it's a different place, especially at the moment with that road closed and not many people. Hopefully he still has some social skills when he comes back. But don't worry, Bats fans, he's coming back for April. He'll be here for Jowls.
Nice. Hey, take us back to the mountain. So you were up at Falls pre-trials and you went down. Did you drive straight there to the trials?
Yeah, yep. So went up. When did I go up? A few days before New Year's. Then spent, it was essentially 2 weeks. Then Rose and I made the long trip to Canberra via the long way down the back. Mm. And then raced, went straight back up to Falls for another week, came home, had a day of work, which was actually a pupil free day. So that was good. And then literally went straight back up there. So yeah, I've been there for a while.
And off the back of that, if you obviously finished fifth, you punched your ticket, obviously, into the team. Yourself and Scotty, when you went back to leading into Bathurst off that trial, did you set yourself some different training, or did Scotty sort of look at the course and think, okay, we need to change some things up, and also did you start thinking about the heat as well?
Yeah, so a few things. I'll probably start at the start there where I ran the trials knowing I wasn't anywhere near my full potential. So I struggled post-com games. I had just a bit of a com games marathon hangover. Got COVID just before Zatopek. Took a little bit to get over that, and then kind of only had 3 or 4 weeks of training before the trials. So wow. Scotty, in his wisdom, was actually like, hey, let's, like, yes, you're not a shoe-in for World Cross, but World Cross is the big picture. The trials isn't. So he was kind of, we didn't train through it, but we had the big goal of World Cross. And he was like, it was actually good. He showed a lot of confidence in me, which I think kind of I absorbed some of that confidence in thinking the trial was purely just a trial and I was going to make it through and all that kind of stuff. So I was gaining fitness as I was going. In terms of sessions, we tweaked things a little bit, but not dramatically. Like we did a few sessions where we'll do some uphills and then kind of float the downhills and then go back into an uphill kind of thing. So it's not a big recovery like you'd normally have with hills where it's like a real slow jog down. We did Fitzy's Hut every Thursday, which I actually think doing that
popping up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's perfect for cross because you just kind of jog out that long warm up, you hit the hill, and then you continue along that snow plane, which is pretty crap footing and that uneven. Kind of stuff. Mm. Yeah, uneven with a high heart rate, and then you kind of bomb the downhill. So we tweaked things a little bit, didn't completely change things, but there was probably one session a week that just had a minor tweak to it. In terms of the heat, we actually did a fair bit of sauna stuff, so Rose and I, and a big thanks to Avish, who's the VIS sports scientist guy. I'm sure it's more technical title than that, but yeah, Boffin. He actually helped us out a lot, which was great because I have never done a sauna in my life and I probably will never ever do it again because I hated it. Like, who likes to sit in a hot box? Like, it's not enjoyable, but we were doing that and it was very structured. So we're doing 3 days on, 1 day off. And we started at, what were we doing? We started at 65 degrees, 2 by 10 minutes. It was literally like a session. Like I'd hit lap on my watch, would come out for a minute, then go back in. And then towards the end, we're doing 30 minutes straight at 75 degrees. And yeah, it definitely helped us because we kind of got to Albury and then got to Bathurst. We're like, yeah, it's hot, but it's not as hot as that sauna. So we were prepping because we did know that falls is great, but the thing it doesn't have is hot weather. As you'd know, Zachary, it's the air temp is actually quite cool up there. Like the sun can get warm, but the air temp is quite cool. And we knew that Bathurst was probably going to be hot and that was going to be our big advantage over the Europeans, Americans and all that in that they're coming out of their winter. So we did a little bit of stuff for heat. I got lucky because it dropped like 10 degrees, but I'd be intrigued to chat to Rose about how she found the heat. But I think like Scotty was saying, he's like, you guys have, you're used to heat. Like you've had summer on summer on summer. And we actually had 4 days down at sea level to kind of get accustomed to it, which I think you actually do in that time if you've got that build up. Whereas if you're fully not used to it, would have been a bit of a shock. So
stuff.
Being your second national singlet, mate, did the experience from World Champs help you prepare for World Cross at all?
A little bit. Like I was definitely I was less nervous, but it's really hard to compare because one of them was a marathon and a marathon just immediately gives you so many more nerves because it's such a big race. There's so many little things that can go wrong. All right, kind of depends on the way you look at it. So I probably wasn't as nervous as that first time because like part of me for Com Games was like, if this is my only Australian singlet and I DNF, like that's, I never want to talk about this ever again. So like I didn't have that hanging over my head. And you get used to what it's like being on a team. You get used to having certain people around and doing things. And it's, so I definitely did draw on that experience, but it was a very different experience. So it was like, and especially being in Australia, like we were only finding out travel, like our itinerary, like a week beforehand. So whereas with Comm Games, it was all laid out like a month, 2 months before. So it was quite different, but it definitely did help.
Yeah, I guess like, yeah, you jumped on a bus. Did you guys go all cruise?
Yeah, up? So the Melbourne crew drove up to Albury, stayed the night, and Rose and I drove down from Falls Creek and met them in Albury, which actually worked quite well. And then we got on a bus, and originally I was like, oh man, like have AA spent all their money? Like, what's going on here? And I was actually picturing rocking up to the hotel and there being like a 20-seater minibus. But no, it was actually a really nice coach, and there was only, it might have been 15 or 16 of us on it. But it was actually really nice because with the bus, you just get on the bus and then you can kind of stop and have a few toilet breaks. Whereas like, airports are, they're just hard work. You just got to deal with people. There's things that can go wrong. You're not in complete control. Whereas with the bus, we could stop when we wanted. And I actually really liked it. I'm really glad that we didn't bus up to Sydney and then fly Sydney to, I thought we were going to actually have to go back to Melbourne to fly Melbourne to Sydney to then bus Sydney to Bathurst. And the other thing was like, if we were busing from Sydney, that would have been a World Athletics bus. So you could rock up and the next bus could be an hour away. Like, you just don't know. And you want to minimize those travel days. So the bus worked quite well.
So you had a bit of a team vibe, and then you all meet up in sort of a village type setup. There was a accommodation, food hall. Take us in there, because you know, for us mere mortals just back here thinking, wow, like we drove past it, we thought, geez, we saw a few Kenyans jogging around, we saw some teams. And what was it like in there?
Village is a very loose term, Zacha. So we got to stay at the university there in Bathurst, and originally I was like, this is going to be rougher than the Bendigo uni, and it's pretty rough. But it was actually some really good accommodation. Nothing dramatic, but you got your own room, you had some really good common rooms, and it's quite nice. So there was probably 10 guys, I'd say, in the one big space, and you all had your own room, and then you had a common living room, kitchen, that kind of stuff. So that was really good. I really liked that. It's great having your own space, but then also being involved with the whole team, I think. And it was actually much nicer than the accommodation at Birmingham. So that was good. The Kenyans and Great Britain teams actually stayed at the Mantra. So they ditched the university and they went the upgrade. So we didn't see them too much. The food hall, dining hall was, unfortunately, the food was very average. They literally served the same thing, and it was actually like school camp vibes with the food. It wasn't bad food, but every night it was rice, pasta, and like one bit of chicken, and they were like really stingy on the servings.
You got some hungry runners in there.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, I've only got to compare it to Comm Games, and obviously Comm Games is a massive event, so it wasn't quite as good as that. But the accommodation as a whole was really good. Couldn't really fault it, apart from they didn't have air conditioners in the rooms, so I could just imagine some of the international athletes.
Did you go and buy a fan? Because we saw Leanne and Rory the day before. Early on, and they said they just went to Kmart or something and bought a fan.
I didn't bother with that. You're just blowing around hot air, in my opinion, with a fan. But I was sleeping fine, because I think when you come back from altitude, I don't know what it is. I think you sleep quite well. And I was out on that first night, and I was like, I don't need to buy one. And I was trying to get as acclimatized as possible. So I was like, hey, if I can sleep in a hot room, that's going to help me come race day. Whereas if I was lacking sleep, I would have looked to go down that next option, but I was sleeping perfectly. So, but there was I don't know, Bunnings or Kmart would have just been like, why are we selling so many fans? What's going on here? So, yeah.
How do you fill in the spare time, mate? Are you getting better at doing nothing, or did you take the PlayStation with you, or what did you get up to?
Yeah, up at Falls, I took the PlayStation with me, and I haven't played PlayStation for a few years. Used to grind it back in my day when I was at uni and hardly running. So I was playing that a little bit. It's amazing up at Falls. Like, you run at 9:30, and then you come back, you're kind of like, I don't know, you have a shower, you have something to eat, you go get coffee. All of a sudden, it's literally 1:30. And then you do a little bit of, like, I was doing a little bit of coaching, or I do answer some emails, organize some stuff. Then you go to the gym, you run, sauna, and it's 6 o'clock. Like, the day flies up there. So it's just kind of after dinner is where I was playing a bit of PlayStation. At Bathurst, it's actually amazing how quick the days go, because you had, like, we had to go out to the course 2 days before, then we had to go again the day before. We had to do like a media thing. Ellie and I did a Rio Tinto Q&A. There was multiple team meetings. We had to go and sign some stuff. So your day is actually quite full. In those few days leading up, which it sounds silly because, like, obviously now it's compared to working and running, it's not much at all, but it was actually we didn't have too much spare time in Bathurst, which was good because there's not much to do there.
Did you have a chance to chat to some of the juniors as well? Because some of those that were, you know, younger kids coming through maybe look up to you and seeing what you've done on the circuit.
Yeah, a little bit. So they were staying in the building next door to us. So you'd often see them at breakfast or lunch and dinner. And like, especially the Victorians, I got to chat to them a bit because I already know, like, Logan and Archie. Some of the others, it was probably by the end of the trip that I connected with some of them. I think it's just through nerves of their race and that kind of thing. But not a whole lot, just because it was only really three days and it was pretty busy. So, but yeah, got to know them, but I probably spent the most time talking to them at the airport, at Sydney Airport, as we're flying home. So it was good to get to know to some of them. And I think it's really cool. They have juniors and seniors traveling together and doing everything together. So
Let's go to race day, Chris, I reckon.
Yeah, no, let's do that. Mate, massive day. I mean, so many. I don't know where to start. I suppose, for me, what I was really keen on, mate, when did you find out you had to start 20 minutes early? How much notice did they give you?
Not much. So we were, what was it? We were sitting down in the, so we were actually in this, each country had a pit box, essentially. So, like, where the cars have their pits, like a garage kind of thing. Every country had their own pit box, which was actually really handy when it started pissing down rain. But we were there, we're watching the junior boys race, and Tim O'Shaughnessy, he was our team coach. He actually got a call, and I don't know who called him, but they said, oh, it looks like they're wanting to bring the race forward. They're worried about this storm that's coming. And then he got another call, literally. This was when the junior boys were on. He got another call 5 seconds, 10 seconds later, saying they want all athletes, all men, to go to the check-in, like the call room. And this,
you
was
hadn't,
like,
warmed up yet.
No, we hadn't warmed up yet. And Tim's like, don't worry, like, because I normally warm up an hour before, and this was, I reckon I was just about to start warming up. So this was probably 65 minutes before the race. They were panicking, and they wanted us all to go to the call room, which was meant to be 20 minutes before our race. So I remember that. I started warming up, and then I probably got halfway through my warm up. So this is probably 45 minutes before, and they said it's 10 minutes, brought forward 10 minutes. And then about 2 minutes later, thankfully we saw an Australian official. We were jogging around, and they said, oh, it's 20 minutes. So it went, so your warm up just all of a sudden going from 50 minutes to then 30 minutes. Like, that's massive, like, especially with runners, we have a very
strict routine.
So, but looking back, it was actually a good thing, because it meant you were just so focused on, oh crap, I better rush back, go to the toilet, get my spikes, get the ice vest, like all that kind of stuff. You were just so preoccupied with that, you weren't thinking about the race. So yeah, it all happened very quickly.
Do you feel yourself as close as you get to the race time? Like, does your mood change? I haven't seen you for a long time very close to race. I'm wondering, you're pretty cool, calm and collected most of the time, but big race like this, obviously home crowd and then all this stuff going on, like how's the mind going at this point?
Yeah, I am pretty, like, I'm definitely one of the more relaxed probably runners, and like I'll be happily joking on the start line of an AV race, but obviously an AV race is very different to World Cross. And it being in Bathurst, like Australia, and the race time at six o'clock, so you kind of had all day to kind of build up to it. So that was that added to it, and then also seeing the juniors race and people were collapsing left, right, and center, and that played a pretty big impact. Like, as much as you tried not to pay attention to that stuff, it definitely kind of eats in at you. But one thing I've been doing while I've been up at Falls is I've been chatting to a sports psych, and that's definitely, because one thing I would probably do is I compare myself against Brett, Jack, Kai, whoever you're thinking, and I probably think that they're in a different league, and I kind of don't give myself a chance even before we've towed the line, kind of thing. So he's kind of given me a few strategies to change that thinking, and so I think this race is the first kind of opportunity to implement that, and I felt quite positive. And it was, rather than looking towards a negative, because I think our brain always goes towards that negative, I was just like, hey, you'll never get to do this again. Like, you'll never get to run a World Cross, heaps of friends, family, like so many people out there supporting Australian runners. So I was just like, just enjoy the day. So I was nervous, but I was pretty relaxed, and I felt ready. Looking back at Com Games, I was in too much of a defensive mindset, I think, and kind of thinking, oh, I've only done one of these, it's what's going to happen. So kind of drawing towards the negative. So yeah.
When did Scott last speak to you before the gun went off? Like, how close beforehand? And that was a plan hatched maybe earlier than that? And then seeing that the juniors, like, and the impact it was having, was the plan adjusted
at all? So it wasn't. Which I'm actually glad it wasn't, because the weather changed so much. But I spoke to Scotty. It was the mid afternoon before the race. So I think it was would have been Friday, probably about 2 p.m. And we just really broke down what we wanted the race to look like, and spoke about. So like our plan that we come up together was, we wanted the first lap to be pretty solid, because it was quite a technical course. And I was worried about, say, if you were coming 140th, because the depth, we'll talk about the depth in a little bit, but say if you're coming 140th through those tires towards the end of that lap, like, you're so far out of it, you're never going to get, even if you like have an awesome last two laps, you're never going to be anywhere near it. So my big concern was being out of position after that, during and after that first lap, because it's not a road race. Like, there was lines where if you weren't in that top 30 or 40, you were severely, like, it was a lot harder, kind of thing. Either you had to run further, you had to choose a line through the mud you didn't want, like all these kind of things. So we wanted to do a good first lap to get a good position, try to settle in the second and the third, and then attack the fourth and the fifth. So that was kind of our rough plan, which was good. It was good having that plan with all the laps. And
but do you factor in the other odds? Like, do you use them as, hey, maybe I want to be within reach of
this athlete? I didn't originally. So before the race, I didn't plan that, because it's so hard to know what, like,
how they're going to go on the day.
You look at Jack and Brett, and they could have an absolute blinder. You know what I mean? Like, they could have finished top 20, top 15, and you'd be like, oh yeah, they've had a good run, but they're that good. So I didn't want to, I didn't want to use any of the Aussies because they could have a shocker or they could have a blinder. And then all of a sudden that throws out your whole plan. But then when I saw Brett probably 200 meters in, and I was like, out of all the Australian team, he's the bloke I want to follow because this is like his seventh World Cross.
Yeah, he's a smart runner.
Yeah, he's experienced. And I thought with the course would be a little more even compared to, like, say, if it was a track race kind of thing. So I followed him. And, yeah, that kind of worked out really well for me. But, yeah, Scotty and I had a plan. But we're not too concrete on plans because of weather, like a lot of crazy stuff can happen, which it actually did. So,
yeah.
So the course itself, mate, like watching from television, this, we've all got a different perspective. When Zach was there in person, you ran it on television, it looked brutal just the way that they filmed it. But how was it for you, mate? How does it stack up to the other cross country courses that you've done previously?
Yeah, so I watched the stream, I think, 2 days ago, and it does not show. There's so many extra hills in there that you do not see on the stream. Like, there's a few little real steep kickers that don't, you can't even see them. I don't know what it is, but similar to, like, TV adding a few kilos, it obviously doesn't pick up.
A few things.
Yeah, doesn't pick up some uphills and downhills. But it was a really tough course, actually. And I've pulled up really sore, not quite as sore as like marathon, but like just in my feet, ankles, Achilles, calf, quads, hamstrings and glutes, like every muscle is sore. And I think it's because of the constant uphill and downhill. And it's probably the downhills that really get you. And there was a few good ones. The one coming, so you went through the mud, up the hill, and then you ran on a bit of a side of a hill, and then you bombed down, and it was quite a steep downhill, and it was really uneven, so you weren't getting, like, I kind of felt like my legs were buckling out, kind of, yeah, doing really funny things. So that was really tough. It's definitely the hardest race I've ever done is Nail Can in Albury. That's bloody tough, but for different reasons. This was definitely the hardest cross country I've ever done. But it's hard because you're on the start line with 60, 70 world-class guys. Yeah. Like, that's what makes it hard. It's just so, but it was awesome. I loved it. I thought it was such a good course to start with. I thought the tires were like, what the hell is this? But I actually really enjoyed running through them, and you actually had to, like, think about positioning, think about who was coming up behind you, who was in front of you, what are you going to do, which I thought was really cool. I don't know what you guys... Bondi, the sand wasn't enough. It was it was funny sand. Like, it was quite easy to run on. Yeah. I was actually expecting sand to be like...
I thought they were going to put, like, heavy sand in there,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's why I was running on all this snow up at Falls Creek, because I was like, that's the same as running on sand. I'm prepping, but the Bondi beach section was literally nothing. Like, you hardly, it was actually harder running through where the sprinklers were after it, because there was like a bit of a mud pit there. I don't know if you saw that, Zaka, but that was actually harder. But after the first lap, it was funny. I was like, okay, I know where the really hard spots are. I'm going to, on the second, third, fourth lap, fifth lap, I'm going to take it easy, like just before those sections, so I can try to make up, like, push the hills. And the second lap, I thought I was taking it easy and I'd get to the hill, and I'm like, I'm just as cooked as So there was just no recovery. And like this, like Brett said it to us, like Benita had a chat to us, and she said, with World Cross, there is not a spot where you can get your breath. You can't sit in, relax, enjoy the view, whatever it is, you are on the whole time. And it was, they're 100% right. Like, that's it. Yeah, you hear them say it and you're like, oh yeah, I'm sure, yeah. And then you experience it, and it's, yeah. Sorry, Zach, what were you saying?
I was gonna say, that's from a spectator, and I thought it was the best running experience from a fan point of view I've ever had, because it was so relentless. Like, you just everyone was just going at it, and you saw the Africans, how they crest the hill and just keep going. And then the Aussie, and everyone was just like, they didn't never had a chance to relax. And that whole relentless made it just so impressive to watch. It's like, wow, these guys are just throwing it down and they're not switching off. Whereas you go to a track meet, sometimes people sit in for laps.
Yeah.
And it's just cruising and, you know, they just tick off. But you didn't see people just rolling around here. They were going at it and they just didn't relax. I went to the bottom of that hill and saw, I don't know, you wouldn't remember, and I was going to ask you about if you did pick up people in the crowd and whatnot, but we went down, I was down there with Moose on the last lap, I reckon, and or maybe the fourth lap, and you could see Brett, he hammered down the hill and you would have just been behind, and it's just as you were going to the vineyard, and like Brett was kind of looking through us, like he just couldn't acknowledge us because he was just absolutely on the limit, but they flew down that hill.
Yeah, it's funny because I kept hearing, like, it was, I couldn't believe how loud it was to start with. Like, it was just intense. Like, I actually really enjoyed the vineyard because you got some peace and quiet.
Yeah, well.
But I heard certain people, but I didn't realize people were kind of like going from one spot to the next.
Mm.
So like, I'd be looking like laps 3 and 4. I was definitely like, I was looking at people to try to find people I knew to try to like get a bit of like energy from them. And I was hearing these voices and I'd be like, oh, that's where it is. And then I'd come around and I'm like, what? I could swear I heard this person here. But I didn't see Zaka. Sorry. Maybe if you got on Bruce's shoulders or something, I might have.
Yeah, I could hardly see over the fence, but yeah.
Yeah. But I saw two people I knew. So that was Steve Van Rees.
Yeah, I met Big
run,
Steve.
Run to PB athlete, and actually Nigel Preston.
Yeah, Nigel's going off. Yeah.
I saw them. Oh, and Jim Russell, actually. So three. Mm. And I made eye contact with them and actually like gave them a bit of a smile because I was I want to just like, I want to try to like get a bit of energy from you guys. And I want you to realize I've seen you and just try to like, I don't know. I don't know if it worked, but on that fifth lap, I was just in just full blown race mode. Probably like similar to Brett where we were just, I was just going hanger and tong, and it was like, yeah, I wouldn't have, if there was an elephant there cheering me on, I wouldn't have noticed because you were just so just tunnel vision kind of thing. So.
So what?
Go for it, Chris.
I was going to say, mate, now that it's all said and done, you know, is there anything that you'd change about how the race went, or it's sort of like you left absolutely everything out there and, you know, you got everything out of the body that you could on the day?
Yeah, it's funny actually. I was talking to Scotty, my coach, this afternoon, and I showed him my Strava graph, and because they're 2K loops, it actually creates quite a nice
I think you Strava showing me that in the pub.
Yeah, I probably was. That sounds like something I'd do. I think I was showing you how many kudos I got though, Zach, and not the graph.
Yeah, I unkudosed you.
But it's funny because they're the exact same Ks, you get a really good measurement for how you're going throughout the lap. And the first K was actually a lot faster than the second K. So the graph looks kind of cool. And it was really cool to see that and talk to Scotty and kind of evaluate how we went on the plan we had going into the race. And like, it's easy to sit here and say, oh yeah, I went a little bit too fast at the start. I should have backed off a bit more on that second lap. But when you're in a race, it's, I don't know. I wouldn't.
First cut.
It could have been something like that. I'm actually not sure off the top of my head. I know you're probably.
Did it feel fast, or did it feel like okay? It
actually didn't feel as fast as what I thought it was going to. And this is where, like, my only. It's not a regret because it didn't have anything to do with me, but I just wish that it was better supported by the Europeans, because it's not a true world cross field, like, and I'm aware of that, and I know that, like, you had 6 good Americans, 6 Italians, 6 Germans, like 6 people from Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and then there's probably another handful of runners from different teams, and all of a sudden those results look very different, and it wasn't the mass crazy start I thought it was going to be. And I don't know if that's partly because of the smaller field, less good runners, or the uphill. And I think a lot of runners were scared. They were scared on that first lap about the weather, the heat, how hard the course was and everything like that. So I think it was a pretty tame start. Like I was, that was the thing I was most nervous about, is what that first K was going to be like. And it was actually not that crazy. So
did you notice the heat early though? Like that first, because obviously the weather changed through your event.
Yeah.
But you didn't think, shit, this is only one lap in, I'm starting to overheat.
No, the only thing I noticed is I got a really dry mouth, like straight away. And I forgot where the drink station was were and came through, missed it on the first lap.
Was
and
there then, only one?
No, there was two. There was one where that relay changeover was, just past that. And then there was another one before you do that big turn before you come down into the mud pit. Okay. So over that back end. But they only had bottles. So I just wanted to get a swig. Just to like literally wet my mouth because it was
no open cups. Just you had to get
a bottle. So I'm running along, and I'm like, great water. I'm locking in. I'm getting one, and I grab a bottle, and I'm like, holy shit! And I go to take a sip, and I tip half the water bottle like literally down my mouth, and I'm like, oh man, I've just swallowed way too much water, and I'm like, oh no, what am I gonna do? And then I wasn't thinking. I just dropped it at me and I accidentally nearly like dropped it on a bloke behind me. I was just, oh, sorry, mate. It was just a bit of a mess. But I wasn't feeling hot. Like I didn't think about tipping. I had half a water bottle. I didn't tip it over me because I just, it wasn't hot. The worst part was the wind and kicking dust up into your eyes. Like there was one section past the beach, past the sprinklers where we went up on a bit of a tabletop and there was bark chips, and there I was literally running with my eyes nearly closed. And I was talking to Kai afterwards, and he said he was running with his eyes closed because the wind, like the wind, honestly, it was so bad. And
The wind was crazy.
Like, I think it was on the first or second lap, I was running around and I was just behind Brett, and this tree fell over like pretty close to it. I pointed at it, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, it was like the world was ending. So, it was bizarre.
Was wild out there. And post-race, now you've had a chance to reflect on it. Out of 10, what would you give yourself?
Oh, I would give myself an 8. So I'm happy. I'm happy with where I finished in the Australian team. And I'm happy with it being my first World Cross. As I said, I just don't think the depth was quite there. So I'm not jumping around going, I finished like 33rd. Like I'm well aware there was a lot of teams that didn't bother sending anyone, or they, I don't know if it seems like indoor racing is really taking off over in America or in Europe. And I think that's taken away from World Cross because it's like, that series at the moment is going gangbusters, so which is a bit disappointing. But so I'm really happy. I think I ran really well, and I think I got the most out of myself. So an 8 I think is a pretty fair judgment. What do you guys reckon?
I reckon you're being a bit tough on yourself. I'll give you a 9, mate. I reckon it was a pretty unbelievable performance. It was such a thrill to see it live, and just to see, the whole event was, it was just awesome to watch. So, before we let you go, mate, what's up next? You're obviously in recovery mode. You're obviously starting to look towards the road season, although in Feb, like, would you still get on the track or anything else, or are we be heading to the roads?
Nah, so I had a joke that I used many times at World Cross when Archie Noakes was around. I said, because people were asking me this question, like, are you going to do like Mori Plant? You're going to run something there. What are you doing next? And I said, Archie ended my track career when he outkicked me in that 100 meters to go and made me look like I was standing still. I reckon I told that joke about 3 times. And every time I made sure Archie was in listening distance. So I enjoyed that 3K, but it was just a bit of fun. I'll run some 10Ks, I'm sure, not this summer, but like in future, but I have no interest in doing 3K, 5K. So actually just locked in Hamburg marathon. So I was probably locked that in maybe 2 weeks ago, I think.
That's exciting, mate. That's where you debuted at the big PB.
Yep, that's it. So that's it's only actually 10 weeks away. So that's going to come around very quickly. same day as London. So it'll be good. I'll head over to Teddington and I'll have Brett and Sinead there. And Ali will be around about with the bubs. So I'm looking forward to being over there with some people because last time I was solo. But yeah, that's what I'm putting all my attention on at the moment, which will be good. And it's the last weekend of school holidays. So that's why I've picked that, because I can head over 2 weeks beforehand and not have to ask for any leave, because I feel like I've used up a fair bit of that already in term one. So it'll be good fun, actually. I'm looking forward to doing it.
So a couple of quick ones for you, mate, before you go. New Ernie Old kit, are you a hare or a harrier?
I'm a hare, purely because I'm not a big fan of the Bendigo Harriers.
That's on the record. Here we go.
No, that's all right. I'm happy for everyone to know that. So I'm a hare straight up because of that. And I also prefer the colours. So I'm a hare.
Very nice.
Good content going around with you flaunting yourself around falls with that, that's set up.
That's how bored we were. We spent it was actually really funny. Had Rose driving my car, and then had Joel Solomon, a guy who was up there, he was filming, and that was actually one of the most fun days we've had up at Falls, and we enjoyed it. So it was good fun.
Good stuff. And one last one, mate. I think a lot of people who listened to the podcast last year and some of the other adventures that you got up to, they really want to know the bat's going to go bat to bat this year.
Yeah, it's a certainty, I think. It's we're looking pretty good. We're confident, which may come back to bite us, but we've got some juniors that are just absolutely loving life. And our Paddy Stowe, one of our newest recruits, he's very keen. Yeah. And there's a few more tats rolling around. So I think when you've got the tat, you've got to back it up. So bat to bat is it's going to be trending very soon.
Yeah, no, you're doing an amazing job down there with the culture and all the kids that are, is just sort of got an absolute factory of juniors coming through the ranks, and you're obviously an idol to them. So, mate, we'll let you get some rest. It's been a huge weekend for you. And, we really appreciate you jumping on because, I know off the back of that, you're probably sick of talking about running.
You do get a little bit sick of talking running a little bit, but I actually really enjoy jumping on these and actually hearing some questions, because sometimes it's stuff you don't ever think about, and you just, I don't know, like these races are so much fun, and like when you're 6 months later down the track, you're like, oh, I wish that I like enjoyed that moment more. And that's one of the things Scotty said to me, is just like, just enjoy it, like you'll never do this ever again. So actually I really enjoy talking about it, and appreciate you boys changing your structure to have me on.
No, thank you, mate. And we will catch up soon.
Cheers, guys. Thank
you. Thanks,
mate. Andy.
Bye.
How good was that, mate? Always pretty an honor to get Andy on. And I mean, me personally, like, I remember going up the falls with him when he was like just, and I was up there with Brady, and this is years and years ago when he was just sort of on the scene, starting to make waves, but not to the level that he's got to. Obviously, he's just to watch his career progress and the amount of hard work he puts in, and he's so giving of his time to his, you know, obviously to his athletes, but just the running community. So it's like, yeah, for a guy like that to just jump on and pretty much give us a recount like that, it's pretty amazing.
It's made very spoiled, and you know, some pretty exclusive insights into what goes on up there. I mean, if you're sort of lucky and know, you know, people like Andy personally, which not many of us do, you know, you might sort of be privy to some of that stuff. But for us members of the general public, it's, I just find it fascinating. And you know, admittedly, just found myself there listening as if I was just there listening as a fan. I'm meant to be asking him questions, but look, I love that. I think the fact that I think we're just truly blessed to be able to do this, and and spend some time with him and have a listen. So yeah, pretty cool to find out about Hamburg as well. And it's interesting, you know, you see for him, for Andy to say like he's genuinely really sore, maybe not quite like a marathon, but genuinely really sore. I think that really underscores how tough that course and that event was.
Yeah, it was like nothing I've seen. I mean, I reckon if the Bendigo Winery course, it was it was similar to that. It just didn't have the obstacles or those. You know, obviously that course had a lot of cambers in it and there's some downhill sections. But I think when you throw in the level of like the way people run World Cross and how everyone's just on the gas, I think that just adds another layer to it. But yeah, it was pretty exciting. That wall of noise, like watching the relays go around, that was just, that was epic. Like just seeing the, obviously you saw the footage. You, what was it like at home watching the relay? Because we, you know, we obviously see them go through and then we're on our phones trying to see, and we didn't see Jess's move. But yeah, what was it like for you?
On TV, TV I don't think ever accurately captures the atmosphere. It's near impossible to, particularly as you know, there's not a lot of, I guess, sound equipment out there amongst it. But you really got a chance to absorb the race properly. Like you sort of understood where the moves were, and I thought they shot it relatively well. So you sort of knew how far the gap was back to the next group, what sort of splits are running for the 2K. But even through the TV, you could actually get a sense of the atmosphere, like that it was good. And which I mean, obviously you're not going to get it exactly how it was, but you could tell like people were just absolutely amped. Even on the start line before the men's 10K, I think there were people standing up, and I reckon I might have even heard a go bats. There were people screaming out and caused almost a bit of a false start. Like I think a couple of the runners sort of went to half a step, two steps forward and had to come back.
I did see our man Mad Mitch rolling around. He was on the mic. He was doing a stellar job. He was I don't think he stopped talking all weekend. I actually did see him out at the pub. We had a beer and his energy was he was up for it. Don't worry about that.
Oh, cool. It looked like he had an absolute ball while he was there too, Mitch. So hopefully we'll catch up with him in the future. But
hey, mate, let's just transition over a little bit of our own running update. We won't go too long because we've had a fair bit of time with Andy and we've got some around the grounds to get to, but how you been going, mate? I was obviously I wasn't checking a lot of Strava over the weekend, so I'll be interested to hear how you went.
It's okay. We can both agree that our running pales into insignificance compared to what we just listened to. So if anyone who's stuck around that's interested, I had mostly easy K's, which I normally do, but just coming off the back of the 5K race in Bendigo, lots of easy Ks. Rather than a full-blown session this week, just did Anna's session with her, which was actually really good, just to be able to do something together again. So she ran two sets of 3-2 1-minutes with a 60-second sort of float recovery into 8x30 seconds. So 3s and 2s were at 10K effort, 1s at 5K, and then those 30s. Sort of trying to run them pretty strong and controlled, almost at a 3K effort. But that was awesome. She was moving really well. And to be fair, there was a bit of fatigue still in my legs. And in those 30-second efforts, like one of Anna's strengths is actually her strength. So her acceleration is really good. So
you were juking it out?
Well, as soon as the watch buzzed for 30 seconds, I'd sort of go, but she would gap me. Like she literally would put 4 or 5 steps into me over those first 5 seconds, and it would take me sort of probably a good 20 seconds into that rep to catch up. So, it was pretty cool. So she's flying at the moment. So that was good fun. And then
showdown race. Could you go a showdown over like an 800?
Or I reckon 80 meters. 80 meters, I reckon it'd be – she'd get me, because strides she always gets out pretty quick and I catch up towards the end. So 80 meters.
Good match race.
It'd be a good match race. Yeah, I don't know who'd win that. Any further than that, and I like 200, I reckon I'd get her. But that yeah, 80 would be cutting it fine. I'll ask her about that tomorrow. So she reckons. And, yeah.
All of a sudden, she starts tapering and doing like shorter sessions, trying to do all the speed work.
Mate, we might just turn up and do a warm up and strides tomorrow, and that might be it. Just throw down and see how we go. But Saturday we did a long run, so knocked over 20k in the long run and just changed the format of it a little bit in terms of first 12k was easy. That was probably sort of 450 to fives, and then put a little bit of a surge in, so 5k just in 420s. So it's sort of around Anna's sort of half marathon effort. Yeah, just threw a bit of a surge in there for 5k's and then 3k easy to finish off. But you know, you sort of have those long runs where you do put in a surge for sort of 20 minutes or so and trying to drop back to that easy pace at the end, it's kind of hard. So I had to pull her up there for a little bit because I think halfway through that 3K, we're still rolling 4:30. So, but it was like, it just felt effortless for us. So yeah, we sort of eventually slowed down and finished off. But look, for me, a decent week, K's wise. I think I knocked over 74, which for me, whilst look, most of my weeks are pretty consistent, was probably up there with, you know, slightly higher than what I had been doing in previous 8 or 9. So, yeah, pretty happy. Body's going okay. Probably it was a little bit tight through the hips over the last week or so, but nothing bad. I've been able to manage it to a point where I'm pretty comfortable, I think, giving a session a go tomorrow. So going to, in the spirit of Andy and cross country, going to do some hills and thresholds tomorrow. So we'll go and see how that goes. And then I'm going to have a go in a 10K race next week down at Numurkah.
Oh, Numurkah, yep.
It should be good fun. That. Yeah. What about yourself, mate? How did everything sort of work out?
It was a pretty disjointed week. So I suppose running-wise, I didn't really attack it with set. Like I did some sessions, but they were kind of half sessions and then jogging around. There was a lot of driving involved and my body is probably just, I think, feeling a bit of fatigue. And I did a strong long run and I think probably pushed the boundaries a bit. And then I guess for me, my body just, it ebbs and flows. And sometimes when the routine's out as well, it's, I thought chatting to Al, I was like, yeah, let's just back it off this week. Got a lot on. And obviously I was going out to Bathurst and it was breaking that up. So I was driving up to Brady's and staying there. I actually ended up doing a fartlek on Wednesday. So I'd done a couple of runs and then just, it's almost like your body knows what day it is. And I can't tell you the last time I did a workout on Wednesday. And I just, you know, I did it solo. I just couldn't get going. I was running, did 5:43:21. And I just, I thought I was working well. And then I just looked down at the pace and just couldn't get going. And I was doing it in the morning again. So like that turnaround from running the night before, you know, all these excuses, but there's sort of these things in my aging body is that, or just with the body in like, I guess, managing, you know, this niggle in the knee, it does play a part. So yeah, look, whilst it's a little bit flattening that like, oh yeah, these aren't coming out that well, I think I just used the opportunity to get up to Bathurst and just have a bit of a reset. Jumped in with the guys for a bit of a work, but we'd driven the night before. So I just sort of did half the workout and then just like, no, I'm just going to bear in mind. I want to enjoy my time up there. I don't want to be absolutely fried. Joined in on the Saturday. There was a big group long run. Like there was 70 odd people there. Oh,
wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
The big dogs rolled off the front. I ended up running with Jess Stenson for a bit. She was just cruising at the back. Like we got dropped. Admittedly, we were sort of talking at the start and then the start gun went, they were rolling forwards. And we're like, no, we're not going to run any faster than this. And ran with her for a bit and then she turned around and ended up running back with a few guys from Queensland that were in town. And yeah it was good to just run with different people in a different location and just the energy of the weekend, like just in a town where it was just overrun with athletics fans and, you know, just the inspiration and just being around so many punters is pretty cool. Like it was It was great. I ended up doing, I think I didn't include it on Strava, but I ran about 80 minutes. It was 75, and then I ran into Maxi Ueda. We jogged around. Ross, you might know Ross Pendleton, who does the show notes, the Inside Running Podcast. Good fella. He was up and about and cruised with him. So, yeah, it was just socially, just, you know, a lot of people from the running community were in town. So it was great to catch up with them. And then, yeah, just off the back of that, that just weekend, it seemed to go so fast. Like, it was just a lot going on. Then driving back straight to work and, yeah, just – again, getting the body. I've sort of lopped off this week, even just been sort of doing 50 minutes and rather than 60. I did 65 tonight, so felt a bit better. But yeah, just I guess sort of catching up with James from Physio Life this Friday, just to maybe hatch a bit of a plan of like, let's take a bit more action and step this up, because I've probably regressed a little bit and in terms of the body, maybe just neglecting a little few things and other areas of just life being busy and all the rest of it's probably taken its toll. So all in all, though, I still got 80, still getting out, like last week I think it was 81K.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's there. It's just, it's just a case of chipping away.
Did you find that extra time in the car, mate? Because what, a trip to Bathurst and back, that'd be a good, 12 hours?
Yeah.
Car time?
10 hours from Melbourne, but three, break it up. And the long run in Bathurst was pretty much all concrete.
Yeah.
And yeah, that doesn't sit well for me these days. But look, I think we can get on top of it. I've just got to make a few more tweaks and keep plugging away at it. It's all in all, very, very exciting weekend of just running, general running, fandom more so.
Oh, mate, between everything that happened at Bathurst across country, and was there an on-launch that you went to as well?
Yeah, this morning I was at the On Oceania. So they've launched their team here and went down to Albert Park, and Craig Mottram's the head coach, and there's a number of runners. Ben Buckingham, you'd know Ben.
Yes.
Yeah. Keely Small, Morty Skyring, a few other names that have just Claudia Hollingsworth. So yeah, they've put together a team, and they're obviously the big dog, Mr. On himself, Olivia, the co-founder, was there. He talked about how he, because I think his brand's only been going about, you know, I want to say 10 years.
Yeah,
he was, and you've seen the Ons before, some of the cloud tech, and he
yes.
Talking about how he was playing around with, he did mention that shoe. He said, I don't usually talk about other brands in speeches, but it was a Nike shoe that he modified with some garden hoses. So I don't know if you've seen the On, but you see those rings that you see on the sole. That was inspired by putting the garden hose, cutting up the garden hose and putting it on the base of your shoe. So pretty interesting fella. So that was cool just to see that unfold, and I think you'll see a lot more of that in Australia. And I think just Ollie Hoard was there. He gave a bit of a speech and talked about his experiences obviously in the US and the excitement of it coming to Australia. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Could have another group to rival MTC.
Well, that's pretty much the plan there, is to have that option for athletes to come through and compete overseas and get into races. And, yeah, it's only good for the sport, you know, more opportunities and athletes, they're able to make a bit of a living out of it.
Love it. That's what we want to see.
Mate, whilst I was at Bathurst, I did have the phone light up with some exciting results from the Run to PB, Park Run, and Rosebud collab. So Maddie and Gemma were down in their hometown, or home Park Run more so, and had some cracking performances, including the man himself. Mattress went around.
That's what we like to see, because this was round two of of the Run to PB, Park Run series. We've got a third one coming up in a couple of weeks too. at Albert Park, which I'm looking forward to. But we've got some times there.
So Matty was racing, but he had some athletes all going around in the same. So obviously warmed up with them and then went and had a crack himself.
Where are we? So we got Bowen Law. Did Bowen just over 20 minutes, I think?
Big PB for him. Yeah. 20:43.
Yeah.
I reckon you would have seen Bowen at the morning Soul Motive. I believe he ran that one. There's a couple of races that they've been at. I know Matt's pretty close, does a few runs with him. So that was cool for him to watch him. Well, be in the same park run as he got that PB. Stacey Bolger, she's getting ready for the Bendigo Ford fun run. So you said it's nice. Out. And looking strong in that picture. So yeah, off to a good workout, good signs for her. And there was another ZD round. So PB 17:57. So cracked the 18. So another one of Mattress's athletes.
No, I like that sub 18, mate. Got to be happy with that.
Zach Round, that is, and he is also down from the peninsula, so home course for him. He's doing Boston, so coming around soon.
Geez, that's not far away at all. I think Charles Jacobson's doing Boston as well. So it'll be a bit of a run to PB presence over there, which would be good.
And Matt also did say on the same away from the park run, Jess Willis, who we have mentioned on the podcast a few times, got the win in the Brisbane Roadrunners 10K.
Jess, what did she run? I think I might have saw that on Strava. It was sub 40 or around 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think Matt's coach's comments was wasn't a wrap with the time, but it was more of a just to get in there and get a race under the belt. So
good stuff, Jess. Win's a win. You've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't come around too often. and then Sunday, so I reckon Gemma was at Park Run with Ollie doing some volley work, and then she was racing the next day at the Carmen's fun run down in St Kilda. And, of course, Gemma, what does she go and do? Goes out and takes the win.
She's in great form at the moment, absolutely killing it. Ran a really strong 5K track at Box Hill and then doubled up with the 10K here. I believe Gemma not overly thrilled with her pacing for the run. That may have gone out a little bit hard early on and paid the price for it sort of physically later. But, hey, nice win. Still ran pretty quick, I believe, in the 34s for this one. So, just getting fitter by the week at the moment.
I reckon she's got the photo saying sharing the podium with the little man, Ollie. Has he been on the podium a couple of times already?
I think Ollie is loving the podium lifestyle. Certainly enjoying the privileges that come with having two parents who are absolutely fit as. So
might need to get the on talent scouts to maybe look at him and see if they can sign him up in an early deal.
He's a fan of the olive green, although I'm not sure if Gemma will be overly thrilled. might be looking to get him in a pair of ASICs.
Yeah, could be a battle of the brands, chasing his signature. And then Supercoach Gemma also had a few of her athletes going around the same race, including, in the 5K, Laura Salamento was her third fastest 5K ever. So great stuff from Laura.
And I think was it Victor?
Victor
Mata, or ran in his first ever half marathon, I believe.
He did, debuted, and got the job done. So some proud coaching moments for Gemma, and so pretty cool to see those results come through over the weekend.
Loving it, mate, especially as we start to, technically we are in summer, but it's only got a week to go.
Yeah.
Those cooler months are coming, and that's when the races will be here. And some of the, it's PB season.
It is actually just while we're at Carmen's, Damien Cuddy ran a 42:59, just shy of his PB at Carmen's, and one of coached by Karina, and another one of Karina's athletes, Hillary Hayton, ran the Port Fairy Marathon And yeah, big PB, cracked 4 hours for the first time, and was the ninth female. So
into the top 10 and a PB. How good's that?
Did very well. So yeah, big congratulations to Hilly. Beautiful marathon down at Port Fairy too.
Oh mate, how good would that be? Just nice little cool change down there. Hopefully not too windy, but it'd be a good little event, that one, I reckon.
Definitely.
Some news that's come to hand, mate. Down the Wimmera way, Horsham, there's a very humble man who certainly doesn't seek the limelight. He does occasionally pop up for a few mentions on the podcast, but he's a man of the people. He certainly gets about town and just does whatever he can to get in amongst the community, and whether it's footy, whether it's cricket, various school committees, park run, you name it. This
I think we've mentioned it before. Has he got 30 hours in the day or something?
Well,
he seems to get so much done.
I don't know how he does it, but if there's a time machine this man possesses, I would like at least a half share in it, because there could be some very useful things that I might be able to do with my time, but especially if it comes to fitting some extra sleep into the week. But this man's so busy, I don't even know if he does sleep, to be honest, Zaka. Just the amount of work that he does for the community and still managed to fit his own running in. But of course, we're talking about our man Soss, Andrew Sossholm from Horsham. So
what a legend.
Where are we? It was a Sports Star of the Year award that he's won.
So this came across our desk. I think Mattress shared it, and then as we were just about to go to air, we had it sent in. So we put it in the notes, and then of course, and then literally as we put it in, Josh Kelly, Run to PB athlete, also sent it through to us and said, hey, here's an idea for Hero of the Week. So he's been nominated as well. Amazing stuff from Andrew.
I'm going to say, I don't know how many Hero of the Week nominations you need, but we might need to establish a Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of elevate him to legend status. Because it's just the wonders never cease. It's pretty bloody cool, though. I mean, to be recognised for the amount of stuff that he does, it certainly goes to show just how much the Horsham community appreciate the work that Soss does. Because, you don't really ever hear from him in terms of what he's doing, because he might take a photo at parkrun, but it's never about, you wouldn't have a clue what he does because he never pumps it up. You might see a photo of the kids playing cricket, but you wouldn't know that
he'd been rolling the pitch for the morning session or
for all we know, mate, he'll be down at the oval doing his run, and he'll sort of push go on the roller and then sort of run, do his strides backwards and forwards, and just keep it going that way. But he's a very humble man, and Horsham's only a small town, so obviously rely on a lot of families and community involvement to get things done. But there's one person they all look up status. To, and it's Soss.
What a great man, and he's such a fan of the sport and so positive. Like, I know I often see him on Strava commenting on a lot of other Run to PB athletes, and I know for a fact a lot of the people are in different states, and I'm sure he hasn't met them as yet, but he's just getting behind the whole community, and I think that's really cool. And I've seen it firsthand when I've caught up with Soss at other events, and I just know how really interested he is in other people what they're doing, and just really wants the best out of people. So it's definitely a worthy winner. And also, let's not forget, last year he lowered his PB over the marathon. He went to 3:13.
Yes,
it's a 7-minute PB. I think previously he'd run Sydney at 3:20. And he'd done a few in between, and for a guy who's pulling crazy hours volunteering and helping anyone and everyone in the town, to go and then somehow take 7 minutes off your PB, it's just that's absolutely inspirational,
mate. Soss was running 100k weeks.
yeah the thing is, Strava, he's out yesterday, what was it, 5:45 group run, said like a herd of brown cows, so I don't know that. But what a legend. Give him a follow. He's great value on Strava, and he's just an absolute hero for us.
mate, love him to bits. I mean, like, as I said, he's a man of the community. He's just there to help. He just wants what's best for other people. He celebrates other people's successes. And I think, you know, whilst he's certainly never going to blow his own trumpet, that's where we need to step in. And we're going to celebrate the great man and really pump his tires up and just let him know, you know, we appreciate you, mate. Keep up the good work.
I reckon he's filled in on the weekend in cricket because he's put up on Strava, cricket with the lads, 6K. So he's rolled the pitch, probably done some volunteer, probably a park run volunteer in the morning and then, rolled the arm over.
That's right. If Soss does get around, if he does find the time to actually listen to this, maybe he's got us plugged in during a long run or something. Let us know how you went, mate. Did you, score a few runs, a couple of wickets, get to play with the boys? So, it'd be good to know. So maybe a link to a scorecard.
Yes, love it. Mate, before we wrap this big show up, one thing I just wanted to mention that you may not have come across, but there was the 578th annual pancake race held over the weekend.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Did you miss that when you were obviously interested in Bathurst?
I did. Look, this may, you know how sometimes on, some sports shows, they'll have like a little ticker that goes along the bottom of the screen with news. I was that engrossed in what was going on in front of me that I actually missed this at the bottom of the screen coming across. Which is a shame. So you've got the good oil on what happened, mate. What was it about?
I will tell you, but my link to Canadian Running Magazine has just gone awry. But hang on, I will tell you. It is an old race. 1445, a woman in Olney, Buckinghamshire, lost track of the time while baking pancakes. When she heard the church bells ringing, she raced through the town to church carrying a pancake just in time to make the service. Since then, thousands of pancake lovers and runners partake in the 380-metre race each year. So a bit of history there, and there's a few rules that are involved in this race. Competitors must follow. So it's traditionally run by women only, wearing aprons and bonnets. The other rules are all that runners must carry a frying pan from start to finish, and it's BYOP, bring your own pancake, flipping their pancake in the pan along 380-metre course. So, mates, it is definitely a unique race and something that, it is a bizarre one.
I'll tell you, runs start with traditions. I mean, think about the marathon. I can never say the name properly. I don't really want to embarrass myself any further on the podcast tonight. But the Battle of Marathon.
Yeah.
Had to get to the people of Athens. Literally died.
Yeah.
When he got there. Now we run a marathon to celebrate. Pancake race. Running late for church. Got to get to church, bang, out with the pancakes as well.
Bangs, and here we are. Bangs out a rep with the pancake.
Mate, nearly 600 years later, it's still going on. So obviously a time-honored tradition that we all know and love, Pancake Day.
But
what happened this year? So there was a race this year?
Yeah. Oh, so I think I've gone the early crow here. I reckon the race is coming up this weekend. Got all my dates knocked out. But they have said that last year's winner could not defend the title because she's won the pancake race too many times. Pre-race rules, you can't enter the race if you've already won it three times. So, no four-peat. You've got the win three times in a row. You've got to pass on the pan.
Harsh but fair. look, and the same thing's really happened to Uncle Chen over in China. People just changing the rules, to really stamp out these dominant athletes. So, that's a shame. But, fresh faces. The kids want new people to look up to. And, hopefully we can track down some footage of race day, see what it's like.
There's a bit of footage. There'll be some footage later on, and our flow track will be covering it.
Pancakes for you, mate. Any something that you partake in, something that you enjoy, any favourites?
I'm not actually a big I don't mind them, but I'm not huge. Like, I don't go out of my way to make them. I'm just don't really. It's not something I look at a menu and go straight for.
Okay.
Yeah, you yourself?
Likewise. Like, it's not something that I'll sort of pop down to McDonald's to the breakfast menu to get a sampling of. But yeah, I think if we did have pancakes, I think blueberries and a bit of ice cream. Can't go wrong, I reckon.
Yeah. Good stuff, mate. Well, after the highs and the highs of Bathurst to the lows.
Bit of pancake chat.
Pancake race, but world record. I don't think it's a world record. It's more just of a, maybe longest race going ever, I'd say.
Yeah. No, look, mate, the tradition, it's worthwhile following. I know I'll be certainly scouring YouTube over the weekend to see if I can't find a bit of footage just to share amongst our running group, just to, might be something that the guys are interested in, want to give a go.
Love it, mate. It's been a big show. I reckon next week we have an announcement around a coach we can go into.
And
I
think yes, it'll be a new coach.
New coach. We'll talk about that. We'll potentially have that interview in the coming weeks off the back of that, but we'll tease it out a little bit longer.
Can we give a small teaser, just like a little taste? Tiniest one. So would this person happen to have represented their country before?
Yeah, I reckon they've done it quite a few times.
Mm.
And talking cross country earlier, this person, I won't give away if it's a male or female, but would have really enjoyed this cross country course and may have done exceptionally well in the collegiate NCAA cross country back in the day.
Believe may have also represented their country at a Commonwealth Games.
Yeah. And also, so on the track in cross country and also at World Mountain and Trail Running. So, quite a resume and quite a, the amount of experiences this person's had on the road, in the running world is, it's going to be a lot to chat about.
Looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll go into a bit more detail next week, but it's we're very privileged to have this person join the crew.
Love it, mate. It's been a great episode. It's been fun chatting to Andy. And yeah, I think all just coming off that high after the weekend.
Oh, mate, it's I know we were hoping we could get a guest this week, and look, to have someone fresh off of the world champs and Andy, like, just yeah, as I said, I got caught sitting there as a fan during the show. So apologies for any times where I was rather quiet there and forgetting my cues to ask any questions, but. No, it was pretty cool. Sort of pinch yourself moment for me. Obviously, being a bit of a fan of Andy, and it was great to listen to. So, once he's recovered up, be cool to see how his prep goes for Hamburg.
Nice, mate. Next week we'll have a bit of a recap from your race.
Yeah, well, getting ready for Numurkah. We've got our runners' club handicap again. So 1500 on Sunday, mate. We know I made an absolute mess of it last time, so. Going to just try and redeem myself a little bit, see if we can get it right. So
any athletes listening, maybe send some bribery your way.
Yeah, no, thoughts and prayers for me that I don't go out too hard and have an absolute meltdown like last. But I think we've actually got a proper plan in place this time, so should be okay. But no, just a very informal get out. Just have a bit of fun ahead of the 10K in America. And we'll see how we go.
Love it, mate. We will chat again next week.
No worries, mate. Take care. Chat soon.
See you, mate.
See ya.